Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, what is your relationship with the moon?
I howl at it.
Yeah?
Don't you?
Well, no. Maybe I should. Maybe it would be good to get in touch with my primal self.
Whenever, when you see a full moon, you just ever scream up at the sky, La Luna! And then start howling?
No, I guess when I see the full moon, my head just runs with some of those illogical theories about the moon making everyone crazier and bringing out the terror.
The teen wolves?
Well, possibly the teen wolves.
Yeah. But, pregnant ladies going to labor, teenagers turning into wolves.
Well, it's weird. I don't actually buy into any of the supernatural ideas about the influence of the moon over human behavior,
mm-hmm.
but I still kind of buy into it at a almost subconscious level. Like it ends up moving around in the back of my mind anytime I see a full moon.
Well, I think it's because it's one of those really primal things where that relationship where you look up and you're like, mm-hmm. wow, it's this big luminous light in the night sky. And, you know, our ancestors thought a lot about it, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, we were kind of looking at this topic, the moon, and thinking of it in terms of a corporation. You know, we're Earth Inc.
Yeah.
And we've got that moon. It's one of our subsidiaries because we're jerks like that, right?
Yeah.
We think that we are just the center of everything. And so we're looking at all of our assets here in the Milky Way and saying, you know, what can we do here to increase our earthly profits? And of course, we set our sights on that glowing orb in the night sky.
I was fixing to say, I hope you're not thinking of letting the moon go.
No, because
it's a very important subsidiary. As we're going to discuss, we're not losing money on this investment. Totally delivering.
It's more like, how could we make the moon more productive for us, and what sort of resources and outputs could we nudge from it? Right, and we can talk more about. We can kind of review its resume here in a minute and kind of see what it's been doing for us, and then maybe what else it could produce for it. But let's talk about this idea that the moon is really our companion in orbit.
Well, first of all, where did the moon come from, right? What's the origin story on the moon? Well, the leading origin theory right now is that a Mars-sized body collided with Earth approximately 4.5 billion years ago, and then the resulting debris from both the Earth and this alien sphere accumulated, all right, to form this big molten moon, which over the course of time cools down. Most of the magma ocean crystallizes with the less dense rocks floating upward and eventually forming the lunar crust.
Okay, so essentially like a big glob of the Earth came off and then combined with other materials out there to form the moon.
Right.
Yeah. And the Earth is unique among terrestrial planets in having a large satellite, this moon, which relative to the Earth has the largest mass of any satellite parent system. And this is really important because we'll talk about this relationship between the moon and the Earth, but it has really set us up for success here on this planet. Because as a result of it orbiting around us and it coming, its materials coming from the Earth, the subsequent evolution of the Earth and the emergence and development of life has been strongly influenced by the presence of the moon.
But certainly it's not the only moon in our solar system. Jupiter has a number of moons,
yes.
but none of the Jovian moons, even though several of them are incredibly fascinating and important to our evolving understanding of the cosmos, they're not as essential in their relationship with their host planet. And that's really, to your point, the remarkable thing about our moon is that it's a very important subsidiary.
It is. And of course the sun is as well, but we're not discussing the sun today. And the sun, talk about egos and this corporate structure. The sun is pretty big there. But you know, we often overlook the moon, and let's take out the resume of the moon because there's some really very powerful stuff here. A stabilizing factor for the axis of rotation of the Earth. Basically ensuring that the difference in heating between the poles of the Earth and the equator is sufficient to promote a healthy and diverse range of climates without veering off into one extreme or another. So if you look at Mars, for instance, and you see that that rotational axis has changed and spanned from 13 to 40 degrees over the last 10 to 20 million years, this causes really unpredictable swings and fluctuations of climate. And this instability, of course, is not good for life, right?
So the moon basically brings a lot of stability. In fact, you could say, in a corporation kind of speak, it brings a culture of stability to the overall Earth environment.
Exactly. It is a stabilizing force. In hippie speak, it is our big satellite of love out there.
Now, the other big area, of course, is its impact on the tides. And this is something that creates tidal patterns. It promotes the alteration and the migration of organisms from one environment to the other. The remarkable aspect of the tides to both reveal and then flood areas, you know, creating these transient areas for life to flourish in is pretty remarkable in and of itself.
Right. It's basically seeding life.
Yes.
Spreading it over the planet. Now, as I look at the moon's resume, I see a third point here, a third bullet point, and it's pretty huge. It says it helped to establish a 28-day period of observable differences in light emittance, establishing a reliable rhythm for early humans to create complex systems by which to pin the concept of time to. And it says, my existence, ability to reflect the sun's light in orbit helped to create conceptual calendar systems, seasons, best agriculture practices, not to mention greatly influencing navigation, explorations, and mythology, including the one about the moon being made out of cheese.
Yeah, you really can't overstate the importance of the moon for just our basic understanding of celestial mechanics, of our even our earliest stages of beginning to understand the cycles in our immediate universe. I was actually reading a little bit about eclipses the other week, and especially I was interested in ancient Indian ideas of eclipse as well as ancient Indian astronomy. Because you see this, this sort of, on one hand you have religious and mythic ideas of what's going on with an eclipse is perhaps the decapitated head of a fallen Asherah trying to consume the sun and or the moon. There's that idea. But then also you had early Indian astronomers who were really figuring out exactly how eclipses worked and exactly how the sun and the moon and the earth are playing with each other in these amazing phenomena.
Yeah, so you have all of these mythologies, these narratives that are just rich tapestries of different mm-hmm. cultures. And then you have something like the Farmer's Almanac, which is at a very basic level just this sort of like, hey, this is how you grow your crops the best way. But it is absolutely dedicated to the moon, this almanac.
Yeah, because you have all these different cycles of the moon and you get into all the weird moons too, because there are the basic, you know, full moon, half moon, etc. But then you get into all these like strangely colored moons and the different harvests, letting you know if a sailor should take warning or not. We just get really rich in our attempts to just almost psychoanalyze what the moon is doing and what the moon is trying to do to the planet.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about harnessing the energy of the moon, changing some of its duties.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, we're back. We are reviewing the moon. We're reviewing its potential to the Earth Corporation, all the stuff that it is doing already, but also the places in its schedule where we could conceivably insert more duties, more work, to make us an overall stronger company.
Yeah, I was just looking at the review that Earth Inc. handed down, and it says the candidate has proven over billions of years to be a stabilizing influence for the foreseeable future. At least for the next 2 billion years, candidate is expected to continue supporting efforts to maintain life on Earth in a fairly consistent manner. As a result, candidate may have extra time and resources to offer Earth.
Yeah, we get into this area of things that we have done to the moon, things that we are doing to the moon, and things that we would like to do to the moon to get more out of it. Now, of course, we've been through the phase of lunar exploration where we've sent machines there, we've sent men there.
We put a flag on it.
Yeah. We, at one point, with Project A-119, this is pretty amazing, we actually considered detonating a nuclear weapon on the lunar surface in order to see how the mushroom cloud would expand and contract in a low-gravity setting. And even more interesting, this was a United States Air Force plan, by the way, Cold War scheme. Even more interesting, though, a young Carl Sagan was a part of the project. The very man who would go on to champion nuclear disarmament and the dangers of nuclear winter, and he even tried to use his research from the project to acquire an academic fellowship, possibly breaching national security in the process.
Wow. So, you know, you gotta wonder if he tried to get involved in it so he'd be like, hey guys, this is a terrible idea. I know it shows the sort of pyrotechnics that we can, you know, put forth toward the Soviet Union and try to scare them during this Cold War, but really bad, bad idea.
I think that's possible. Also, I can't help but think it might be a situation where Sagan is thinking, that is a horrible idea, but if we're going to do it, it's pretty cool. So I would like to be a part of it. I mean, if someone's going to nuke the moon, then at least let me get in on the science of it. Let's at least nuke it right, people.
Yeah, and you know, I can't help but think about him in a turtleneck as a young man, and now I'm thinking about him as a baby in a turtleneck, like he was born with the turtleneck.
Like a baby Sagan, like a Muppet baby Sagan.
Yeah. All right, that is completely irrelevant. Let's get back to this moon. How do we put it to work?
Well, one of the big areas, of course, is can we get energy from the moon? That's and there are a few different answers to that. But one of the more readily available ideas here is we have the moon up there in orbit, and it's exposed to a lot of sunlight. So
reflecting it.
Yeah, it's not really doing anything. It's just sunlight bouncing off the moon. But what if we could harness that energy? Use the moon to harness sunlight and then send it back to Earth.
It's brilliant, right? Because here on Earth, we're having problems with this, right? Like, how are we going to really service our future energy needs? And we do need to think about this in creative ways. So someone came up with an extremely creative way to deal with this, and it's called a solar belt. And this was, or this is a plan that is being championed by the Shimizu Corporation. And we're talking about installing on the surface of the moon via a massive 12-mile-wide, 600-mile-long lunar ring of solar panels.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing looking. Essentially, you would look up into the night sky, and on a good night when you could really see the moon, it would look like it's wearing a crazy disco belt because because this strip of solar panels would go all the way around the equator, and it would and the idea here is that you'd have 13,000 terawatts of continuous energy sent from the moon to receiving stations around the Earth. And then it's distributed to the power of, you know, to power the population, to power all the stuff that we have to charge up. And, they think that we could begin construction on this by 2035 if we really wanted it.
Yeah. And the plan here, in addition to this, is that, the corporation can develop robots that will mine the moon's natural resources to produce the concrete and the solar cells, some of the materials that they're going to use there. So that gets into this whole idea of, like, oh, that's right. The moon does have a couple of resources to mine, doesn't it?
Yeah, the building material thing alone is interesting because as they point out, water can be produced by reducing lunar soil with hydrogen that is imported from the Earth. And then cementing material can also be extracted from the lunar resources. So suddenly you have concrete, you have bricks,
mm-hmm.
You can essentially build yourself all the buildings and infrastructure you need right out of the lunar surface.
Right, you don't have to bring your Legos with you. The Legos are there, essentially.
Yeah, of course, you're going to need machines to do that. And you're going to need machines to continue to care for what you've built. Because the moon is a pretty harsh and bombarded surface for a reason. So if you build a massive disco belt, you're going to need not only the robots to build it, but the robots to maintain it and deal with any of the holes that emerge there over time.
Indeed. Now, one of the things that NASA is working on is a little plan with private corporations because, as we know, they have a mandate not to spend any more money on the moon, right? So how are they doing this? They are working with Bigelow Aerospace to develop a commercial sector, which will be involved with them and is especially focused on plans to build a lunar base and mine the moon for helium-3 as well as rare earth metals.
Yes, the helium-3, of course, is important, not because we need to fill up a bunch of balloons here on Earth, but mainly because helium-3 would play a vital role in nuclear fusion power.
Mm-hmm.
Helium-3, just to remind everybody, has two protons but only one neutron, and when it's heated to really high temperatures and combined with deuterium, which is one of two stable isotopes of hydrogen, the reaction releases an incredible amount of energy. So just 2.2 pounds or 1 kilogram of helium-3 combined with 1.5 pounds or 0.67 kilograms of deuterium produces 19 megawatt years of energy. Roughly 25 tons of the stuff could power the United States for an entire year.
That's nuts, right?
Yeah. The other side of that is that the moon has tons of it, not so with Earth.
Indeed, actually, there are 17 chemicals in the periodic table that are in increased demand because they're heavily used in everyday electronics. So if you look at that lunar soil, it is rich in these coveted rare earth elements, and the moon could provide those. So again, it makes sense to kind of look at it and say, so you're up there, you're stabilizing us, thanks a lot, but we're not just going to step on you and take a peek at what some of your soil is composed of. We're actually going to put you to work here.
Yeah, and the great thing about some of these plans we're discussing here is that ultimately the goal of NASA and sort of the goal of humanity's efforts in space, it's to get that foothold on the moon,
mm-hmm.
to explore Mars, to get to Mars, to get more robots and hopefully people on Mars and then bring them back again. But to do that, you've got to build up and you got to build out. And what better way to get boots on the ground, or boots on the lunar ground, than to have there be a profit in the mix there. Minerals, energy.
Yeah, and NASA's not just looking at the actual moon itself, but also asteroids. And we've talked about this before, a couple ideas about how to ensnare an asteroid. One, because it could be a threat. It could be in orbit, or Earth's orbit and coming right at us. But in this scenario, NASA is looking at building a robotic spacecraft to grab a small asteroid and then place it in a higher lunar orbit where they can kind of look at it a little bit more, the asteroid itself, and then kind of dock it over on the moon.
Yeah.
After they like put a huge bag around it. I'm not kidding. These are the descriptors. Like, we're going to take this giant bag and then bag it and haul it over to the moon, where they can mine the asteroids as well.
Yeah, this is a great idea because in the same way that the ultimate goal is to say explore the cosmos, get to Mars, etc.
Yeah.
The larger goal here would be let's develop and perfect a way to deal with near Earth objects that pose a risk to our planet. But to get us there, well, let's harvest the asteroids. And in the process, we're also studying them. We're learning more about them. We're developing our means to catch them. And somebody can make a buck or two off of it.
Yeah, and that's always Neil deGrasse Tyson's argument for going to the moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, don't abandon it. This is a really great setup for us to try to figure out best practices elsewhere in the universe and also to have resources.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Yeah, I was really thinking about our past conversations with Neil yesterday because I heard part of a Fresh Air interview with him during a pledge drive for NPR yesterday, and I was thinking back to our conversations with him, and then I thought about our recent episodes about Future Shock and by the book by Alvin Toffler, which really, of course, drives home the idea that no technology happens in a vacuum. When new technology comes around, it changes us. It changes culture. It changes the way we think about things and the way we think about ourselves and what we're going after. Mm-hmm. And Tyson seems to really push that idea as well, that it's not just about, oh, let's develop this rocket. It's in developing that rocket, other technologies spin off of it. It changes the mindset of the people who build it, the mindset of the culture responsible for exploration and innovation.
Oh, gosh. I mean, half of Home Depot's items wouldn't exist without NASA, if you think about it. The cordless drill, you know, did not come about because people were like, hey, it would be great if we had this cordless thing. It was really trying to figure out pragmatically how to do things in space and do them in a way that made sense. So, yeah, I mean, there's all these sort of benefits, these indirect benefits that flow out that you don't really have a grasp of what those are going to be until that technology is in place.
Yeah, and with a lot of these efforts, it's more about that. It feels like it's more of definitely a dangled carrot as opposed to residual effects.
Yeah.
It's just, instead of like a bunch of little residual effects, it's saying, here's the big one. Look at all this energy to be gained. Well, let's get up there.
Yeah, and any sort of moon mining, asteroid mining, of course you're going to have to, and we had a whole episode on this, but you're still going to have to consider space junk and the removal of that. So in a way, this could be a boon to those concerns that people have that mining the moon would just create more and more debris or stripping of resources as we have seen here on Earth. The actual pursuit of mining really does necessitate a pretty big degree of responsibility on our part.
You know, as we're reviewing the moon's performance here, I do have one critique. I think the moon could dress it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have a dress code here at Earth, Inc. Mm-hmm. Could the moon lighten its appearance a bit? Make itself a little more shiny in the night sky and thus a little more illuminating?
You know what's crazy about that? Is that when the moon is only like 95% of its full brightness, it appears to our eyes as being like half as bright. So, I don't know. I think the moon, to play devil's advocate, might turn around to us and say, ah, but if you guys could just enhance your visual systems, you could see how hard I am working to be bright for you.
Well, that's all well and good, but the Forio Institute, they have another idea.
Oh, of course they do.
And I started looking at this, I was awfully skeptical, because the idea is let's make the moon brighter so that our nights are brighter, that we can cut down on our energy usage, for street lamps and what have you.
So, I mean, you think about natural sunlight streaming into your windows, right? And how you don't have to always put on the lights.
Yeah, basically, this is directly from the Forio Institute's, pitch for this. They say the Forio Institute has found an extremely smart and feasible solution that can deliver enormous results to address the global energy crisis. Nobody has ever considered that a small transformation of the moon face is possible by increasing the reflectivity of sunlight. That can bring the equivalent of four extra nights of having a full moon. Combined with smart street lighting, sensors are used to dim or completely power off lights when not needed. This will dramatically cut the world's energy consumption. And so the idea is using materials already on the moon, you just make portions of the moon more reflective, and overall the moon becomes brighter.
Now that just makes me think that I have to get a really massive blackout shade. Get like a serious one.
Well, because you're thinking about, oh, if it's, I'm not going to be able to sleep, it's going to have an effect on my health, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they've thought of that. They argue that it should not be an issue because we would have a gradual process here. This would, this brightening of the moon would take place over 30 years, so you'd have time to adjust. But they do admit that additional scientific studies are required. Likewise, as far as the environment goes, they state that because moonlight is 400,000 times less potent than sunlight, there's going to be a negligible impact on the environment, but research is ongoing.
I'm shaking my head because I got to tell you, on full moon nights, I mean, besides the fact that I get, you know, tons of hair all over my face and grow fangs, I do seem to wake more often and perceive that light. And maybe I'm just a really sensitive sleeper, but that kind of drives me a little bit nuts. I feel like they need to do a little bit more research there.
Yeah, I mean, well, there is certainly tons of light pollution issues to wonder about here.
Yeah.
You have to wonder about the effects on all the various animals that depend on the moonlight for navigation.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, though, that only 0.1% of the moon's surface, a chunk about the size of Switzerland, would need to be transformed to reach 80% of the desired brightening effect.
Well, that is impressive.
Yeah.
But again, we're talking about billions of years of evolution in animals responding to the environment that has been, you know, fairly constant, right? Okay.
Well, it's an incredible idea. They also have an electric toothbrush they're working on, by the way. I've visited their website. So if you're not down with brightening the moon, then maybe you would like to try out a fancy silicone electric toothbrush.
To brighten your pearly whites.
Yeah, I think they funded both projects. But the toothbrush, I think, has a little more potential to hit the market here.
I feel like the toothbrush gets a lot of play out there in the corporate world. Because I remember that there was, when we were looking at robots and machine creativity, that there was one program that created something like 800 designs for Oral-B to choose like the best design for the toothbrush. Really, are they that important? I mean, you know, they don't change much. I mean, you just brush your teeth.
Yeah, and it's not one of those things where it's like, all right, we've perfected the toothbrush and now we go out of business. So you have to continually buy new toothbrushes or new parts for your toothbrush and then replace the electric after a while. But I don't know. I guess that's... If one were to analyze what the Forio Institute is doing here, you kind of feel like maybe they said, all right, let's choose two projects that are going to get us a lot of attention. Let's get into this toothbrush business. Designers are going crazy. There's so many designs out there. If we can actually create a design that sets ourselves apart from the rest of everyone, then we've done a great job. And likewise, let's figure out something kind of crazy that people will overreact about, let's talk about doing something to the moon.
Yeah. Okay. I see that. Yeah. Let's focus on this super industrial toothbrush complex. Oh, and the moon.
Yeah. All right. So what's your final corporate analysis here? What does the moon need to do to fit into the new corporate environment?
I think it needs to think dynamically.
Okay.
I think that it really needs to show us that even though it doesn't have many resources other than its own right now, that it can provide to us a long-range plan in which it can really deliver an impact to the Earth, one that doesn't actually smash into us and obliterate us, but one that really enhances life here on Earth in a way that is fiscally responsible and in a way that I think lifts humanity to its highest degrees, you know, really just sort of feeding the better angels among us, who are trying to gain more bandwidth, more energy, and really trying to bring this synergy to focus in a sort of singular point of light.
All right, so there you have it. Some ideas for the moon, ways that we can take more advantage of its positioning and take advantage of its energy potential. I do wonder, this is a question I'd like to toss out to our listeners. Imagine a time in the future, decades from now. Does it frighten you? Does it terrorize you? Does it just kind of amuse you or excite you even to envision yourself looking up at the night sky and then on a full moon and then turning to a young child and saying, I remember when the moon didn't look like that. Believe it or not, the moon hasn't always had a big shiny belt and it hasn't always been that bright.
In this scenario, is the older human being and the young child, are they outfitted with jetpacks?
Yes.
That makes it different then.
Okay. All right. So, hey, you want to get in touch with us? You want to see what we're up to, see what our latest podcast episodes are? Head on over to StuffToBlowYourMind.com. That is the mothership. That's where all the podcast episodes are located. You won't find them all on iTunes. You won't find them all on various other sites, but you will find them all at StuffToBlowYourMind.com, along with our blogs, our videos, links out to our social media accounts like Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Also, our YouTube account, Mind Stuff Show. You'll find the link there as well. And, Julie, how else can they get in touch with us?
All right, let's say you guys have some thoughts you want to share with us about maybe the moon showing up in culture, like songs, right?
Yeah.
The moon is... I looked at my playlist the other day, and I had like 200 songs that contained moon in the title.
Moon Shadow?
Moon River. Nico Case's moon song, I Wish I Was the Moon. Anyway, point is, you want to share your favorite moon song with us, or your moon thoughts. You know, you want to answer Robert's question about staring up at the moon 40 years from now and discussing it with a youngling. You can do so at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.